The funny thing is about going to the doctor is that they know what to do.
Dude, you cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.
Yo, we in a fresh studio, but it's not a new studio, ladies and gentlemen. Net Positive Podcast, where you're in a rented studio in Boston, Massachusetts. That's a terrible accent. You do it better.
I don't.
Boston. I'm from Boston. There you go. He goes Boston. Yeah. We're in a studio. We're on the road in Boston, Massachusetts. John Crist with your boy. Fan favorite guest is back in the pod today, ladies and gentlemen. Derek Stroop.
Hey, y'all. Glad to be back.
You want to do a radio intro of the podcast?
Yeah. Like, radio what voice? Do you mean? Like that radio thing I do all the time?
Yeah, radio voice. Yeah.
But like
107.9 Net Positive. Thanks for tuning in. Don't tune us out. We're going to be here all day long playing all your favorite hits.
Tune us in. Don't tune us out.
Yeah. That's I got a whole thing, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're grounded your entire childhood.
Oh, yeah.
All I had was the radio.
All you have was voices.
Yeah. And I just.
What American voices are there? They're like, there's, hey, man, I'm from the South. And that's like the general South. It's like Virginia and Texas down. Then you got North. And then you got Wisconsin, and then there's not really any Denver, Montana, and then you got the West Coast, but it's just like slower.
Well, West Coast, I think we'd be like, hey, surfer, bro.
Yeah, there's no catching a wave. But that's like if you were, I wouldn't know the difference between like visually between like a North Korean and a South Korean. But if you live over there, you know, right?
Man,
like a Chinese and like a Japanese. Like if you live,
no, there's no way that I could be walking down the sidewalk and be like, that was a beautiful little Korean family we just passed
versus a, like
Japanese.
But that's the same in America.
Yeah, like that's
you,
the same way.
Yeah, if you like that, like if you know, like someone could differentiate a Boston and a New York accent.
Yeah,
I think a lot better
around here.
Yeah.
We can really get away with it where we're from because it's all kind of blending in.
The South is.
I know Boston's going to be like lobster and get in the car.
Yeah,
we got to go far.
But that's like really Long Island's like that.
Yeah. I mean, then they would tell you that it's a New England accent.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Boston just kind of owns it, but it's a New England.
And then the only one that has one is Wisconsin for some reason.
Yeah.
Why do they have one?
Oh, isn't that like the cheese. Don't you know there?
Yeah, don't you know?
That's kind of like Minnesota. Oh, don't you know there? No,
Minnesota,
Bobby.
Like Charlie Barron's.
I got a knapsack full of walleye.
Yeah. Wow. How come they got one? No one else get like the. I don't think there's Southern, Wisconsin, Northeastern. Those are the only three here, right?
Yeah, but I mean, growing up, just like I'm sure they do up here, we used to do like New York City or Boston accents all the time growing up.
Yeah, like, it was like a funny, like I'm gonna put you under if you get like I'm gonna stab you if you don't pay, like the mafia.
Unfortunately,
where's the mafia
for
from?
Southerners, when we're crossing the street, we think it's a real zinger to go, I'm walking here, and we're like, how about that? That's pretty good.
You're like,
that's
dude.
Pretty funny. They do that there.
You're
right?
Like, hey, right, and you're looking around for hey, anybody? You're like, no, okay, we got it. No. And wait, well, we go every time we go to a new city. We try to go like on the Saturday because we're flying. We usually flying on Thursday. We do the show on Friday. Saturday we have like a day.
Mm-hmm.
And where'd you go this morning?
I went and watched some neighborhood rec league basketball.
You just stumbled upon it, or you scheduled it?
Yeah, I wasn't seeking it out. It's not something I expected to find. I was trying to go look at these New England style townhouses where they're like pink, blue, coral, and orange, and they're all connected. They're everywhere.
Well, that's what. Yeah. After the show, you. If somebody's like, hey, do you want to go out to dinner? And I go, Derek doesn't.
No,
he wants to.
I want to go on a walk.
Yeah, he likes to.
I like to walk around.
Like to go in a city you've never been to.
Never been
you
to.
You got to go exploring.
For sure. And then I like to kind of duck into a place, like a little hole in the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Watch some jazz music or something like that.
I mean, no, I wish I was that, you know, cultured. No, I just I'd rather probably go eat a Reuben and leave. But I do. You're right. But when I was walking around, I found this little like rec league basketball thing in the neighborhood. Yeah. It was really competitive. I mean, I told you, I was like, I knew I was in Boston because there was some redheaded white dudes straight hooping. Some guys with the last name Sweeney who knew how to hit a three-pointer.
It's like
I come from some Sweeneys too, but anyways.
I don't know if there's any redheads in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, immediately, you got one of the most famous ones ever, played for Boston. I can't remember his name. They all know his name around here.
Oh,
yeah, and he, like, would go on, like, courts around town, and...
And he would, like, talk trash.
Yeah,
he was a white guy. Brian Scrant...
Starts with a... Yeah.
Scalabrine. Yeah, he would, like, talk trash, still.
Dude.
And he's like, you're trash.
For sure.
He would, like, as this average NBA player, but he was like... Yeah, I'll go to the courts and I'll play you one-on-one.
One thing I've always heard, and I'm sure it's true in all pro sports, but I've heard so many NBA players throughout my life say, the guy on the end of the bench in the NBA
is filthy.
Is nasty.
Disgusting.
Yes, very gifted ball player.
If you watch the top, if you watch the NBA, we've gone to some NBA games. Mm-hmm. Where did we go, to Philly game?
We went to the Philly Atlanta, Hawks Philly. Playoff game.
The guy at the end of the bench is, you just think about that guy. I always do, like, think about that guy in high school.
Oh, yeah.
He was on the front
of every newspaper.
He was in his town.
Yes.
He was absurd.
Absolutely.
And so then he went to college, and he still dominated. He wasn't like, you got to travel across the country to see this guy play, but he dominated.
Absolutely.
And then he got picked, and then the draft, there's the supplemental draft, and if you make the team, they're only taking 12.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're, like, on football, if you're, like, a punt blocker, you can't really... exclusive that guy's skills
in
the neighborhood, like a pickup basketball, you can though.
Yes,
basketball, you go, give me the ball, I will score at any time.
Absolutely.
Yeah And he's, was there any I was curious about this, I was gonna ask you, because we play basketball with our buddies, was there any women around watching?
Maybe one or two.
Okay, because we play a bunch, and then we played in this gym with our buddies, just all our buddies. And a couple weeks ago, one of the guys brought his wife and a friend. And when I tell you, the game changed.
Wow.
The game changed 1,000%.
That is hysterical.
But you get it.
Immediately.
And let me just describe what happened when this woman walked in. And all these dudes are at some level of... married, in a relationship, and that didn't really matter.
No,
but that's like an animalistic, like, that's how the human race got here.
For sure.
It's like impressing women. And we just, like, everybody was, like, kind of lackadaisically, like, playing.
Yeah.
And then women walked in, and it changed. Everybody's like,
that's so funny.
It's like a palatable. You can tell the difference. Everybody's like, hey, everybody kind of like put their shoulders back up a little bit, like try to do a little bit more like a jab step. Try to, like, the ball was moving quicker.
Absolutely.
It just the level rose.
And it's been that way since the beginning of time. You're so right. When we were talking about college intramural sports earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a regular game of flag football, John, until a few Zetas show up.
Yeah.
You know, and then now it's time to pull some flags.
Yeah, then it's we're playing now.
Yeah.
And to get like beat, like in, like, not dunked on, but get like shot, like to get like shot on, or like in a flag football, get like a touchdown caught on you, like against, is embarrassing.
Oh, it's the worst.
But it shouldn't be that embarrassing.
No, because, well, we have hindsight now. Like,
yeah.
At our age, we're better at digesting this type of stuff and understanding the big picture. But when you're 21, 22, 19, 16, and there's women standing around, and you just got dunked on, it's the end of your week.
As if they're going home. You're like, I was going to ask Derek to formal, but did you see him, like, that guy, like squared up on him and, like, drilled like a
You're Did like, you see that Delta Chi do a reverse layup on him?
Yeah, he goes, I don't think I want to. Yeah,
I'm good on that.
That's not true.
That's a no for me, dog.
Well, it is yes and no. That is true, because I feel like, as a comedian, that like when a woman, or when you see someone else, another human being of the opposite sex, do something that they are gifted at, they do become more attractive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
1,000%. Because back when I was, like, in the dating game, I would remember calling girls and, like, you know, trying to get them to, you know, like me or text me back. And it was kind of like lackadaisical. And I knew I had this ace in my pocket, which was the show.
Yeah, there you go.
When I lived in Denver, this is probably 10 years ago. And I go, you know, they weren't really super interested. I wasn't, like, I got, let's say I got their number from somewhere that wasn't comedy related, mm-hmm. which was uncommon. But they were like, "Who? What?" And then I go, "All right, this Saturday, I'm like, Dave Chappelle's at the club, and I'm opening. Why don't you come through?" And then it's a wrap. Is that true or no? No,
that's 100%.
Yes.
When I first started dating Alyssa, as soon as I could get her to a show,
yep.
I did it.
You did?
Okay? Yeah. Because I knew that.
That's what you're good at.
First of all, with the type of comedy that we do, yep. you're going to get to learn a good bit about me.
Yep,
I'm going to talk about kind of how I see things and how I take things in. And then you're also going to see, first of all, probably the thing that I'm the best at.
Yeah,
like there's
yeah,
nothing,
yeah.
I make a decent beef stew. I do.
Yeah.
But I think my comedy's a little better. I do just a little bit. So I did that immediately. I had a show at a country club.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, sit right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right here. You sit right here.
And then she was in from that day.
Yeah, this will be better than Ruby Tuesdays.
I promise you. Right. Well, I think what would be the equivalent of for you, and everybody's different probably, but for you to see in a woman, they were like, that is hot.
Well,
because not watching a woman play basketball. I mean, it would be or no?
No, but I mean, this question feels like a setup, John.
No. I'll answer.
I don't want to go, you know what's hot to me?
I'll answer it first.
When she's in there and she's just got a big old breakfast rolling in that kitchen, spotless, baby. It feels like that day is going to, you know, I mean.
You can't say that. Yeah,
exactly. But what I really. Think.
That's a good question.
Here's what I mean this. This is going to sound like it's really cool and attractive to see anybody doing something they're great at, period.
That's a good way to say it. Proficient at, for sure.
Whether you can sing, whether it's organizing things, whether it's, you know, like, for instance, like our tour manager, David Troyer.
Yeah.
I found it really cool and interesting that he was so good at organizing this circus. I could never do it.
Yeah, that's
just
a good point.
Seeing
somebody
do something, just whatever
and
it is.
You know, well, if you didn't know him and you saw him out at a Starbucks, you wouldn't think twice, but we know his skill set.
Yeah.
So we go, no, that guy is more valuable to us because we know. I remember this girl, I lived in Colorado Springs, was interning at a church, and she was a friend of mine. And then she got, this is so silly, she got like promoted to like Sunday morning singing.
Uh-oh.
Like she was like youth group.
Big church.
Yeah.
Big church.
She's like, hey, it's time for big church. Mm. Dude. They called her up. They said, we called the left-hander.
Man.
And she had like a kind of like a good voice, but no one had really like, she like sang on some albums or something, but nobody really, she was, and then she like, they were like, hey, it's your time. And then we all kind of went to church because we were like, hey, Rachel's singing this week. And it was, and she was like kind of small, petite girl and so powerful. And we were all just like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like we all wanted to date her.
Well, for sure.
Like just after that, which she should be, and we should be the same in our own right. Like the girl didn't want us, and then we bring her to the comedy show. And now she's like, "What's up?" We should be like, "No,
yeah,"
but we're not, because I think my sister one time goes, "John, don't you know that like all these girls like only like you because you're good at comedy?" I go, "Yeah,
yeah, I mean for sure,
obviously, and I'm good with that.
I mean,
that's the thing you're good at,
no doubt. Back when I was dating, I knew that being funny was my ticket.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep, I wasn't trying to go to a swimming party.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, I wasn't trying to get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know I don't have abs. I'll put a jacket on and tell you some zingers, you know?
I'll put an Izod jacket on and tell you what's up, dude.
Yeah, Izod.
Well, wouldn't you think that comedy as, I'm trying to think who I would be like everyone's always nervous to lose their girl to the funny guy.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that? Like if you want to, whoever the NBA player is, like you want to go to his game. I wouldn't be worried about losing my girlfriend to an NBA player.
Well, you make more money than I do. Right. I'd be nervous if Alyssa went on a date with an NBA player because.
No, I think it's the opposite.
Probably has a car.
Here's what I would be worried about. Not worried about, but this is just a funny conversation to have, is if another comedian, like if like we're all at like a barbecue and the other comedian was like, hey, we need to go to this, we need to run up to the store and get some ice or something. I was like, not with another comedian.
Not with another comedian.
But like any other, like a, an athlete, yeah, no problem. Sure. Because you, no one wants to leave their girlfriend alone around a funny guy.
No.
Would you say that's true or no?
I know it's true. Yeah, you're just funny guys are dangerous. Yes, I mean, that's just the truth. Yeah.
If you say this girl that was like, when I first moved to Nashville, she was like obsessed with Julio Jones because he played at Alabama.
Yeah.
Like the wide receiver's unbelievable. Yeah, but you don't want to go on a date with Julio Jones. I don't know Julio Jones. I shouldn't speak that. But that's not going to.
Yeah.
You love him to play. He's an unbelievable football player, and he's 6'8", and he can catch a touchdown pass. And you know, a lot of the greatest moments of your college were associated with him.
Yeah.
So I get.
For sure.
But
he's not going to be catching a touchdown while y'all are eating sushi.
Yeah, you're going to sit down in Olive Garden, you'll be like, so. Yeah. I don't know. I shouldn't say that, but that's going to fall apart pretty quickly. That's hilarious, dude.
But that's correct. You're just saying, say a football player in general.
Yeah.
Because people are going to be like, you're going to get a DM. People, Julio donated to the Golden Retriever Club.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying, though.
What about singers? Are we worried about singers?
I mean.
Let me try to think.
Like a male, like immediately I thought about that guy in the movie. My name's Derek and I can sing high like this.
I'm not worried about a singer. I'm not worried about a singer.
No.
Who's he talking about? What's that guy's name? That little short guy? Good dancer? What's that singer's name?
Oh, you just reminded me. Let me tell you who's. You ever seen
Bruno Mars? I'm thinking about Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah, Bruno Mars.
You can say stuff if you have an idea. There's like three Boston white dudes sitting in the studio.
Yeah.
And they're like, we don't know if we're allowed to contribute or not. Yeah. He had Brian Scalabrine for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll say this if you want it to. Yeah, throw it out if you got it. Sorry, go ahead.
I forget what I was about to say.
I was thinking a little singer.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about Bruno Mars. Yeah. No, that guy that's the judge in Dancing in the Stars, his dancing is intimidating.
Oh, that guy.
I mean, if he was
talk about the I don't know what his is he, name. He's got Brazilian or something?
No, he's got blonde hair.
Who? I know the Dancing with the Stars. I know the three of them.
Yeah, I thought that there one of them was a white dude.
Oh, I know the guy. Hair. Yeah, the older guy. Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. I know that's random, but one time I saw him dance, I thought, my goodness.
He's like, I might lose
him. My goodness.
Oh, you know who I might be worried about now that I think about it? Guitar players.
I don't know.
You're not worried about them?
No.
This is a hilarious conversation. What level of guy to be? I'm not worried about an athlete. You know who I'm definitely not worried about? Definitely not worried about is like a muscly guy.
Yeah.
That's the least of my concerns.
All right. Let me tell you who we're not bringing up who could be in any of these categories.
Okay, who?
The most dangerous man is a rich man.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
It's not
even
close.
Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%. Because let me tell you something. 100%.
I don't care how funny
they've been outkicking the coverage. Yeah, the rich guy. I forgot about the rich guy.
It's without a doubt.
Yeah, the rich guy.
And people hate to hear it, and they're like, no, that's not true. You need to understand
it's the rich guy, number one.
For sure. And sometimes they come in different, you know, it might be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant.
Yeah.
But I see lots of rich guys who have the personality of a pile of rocks.
Yeah, 100%.
They're doing pretty good for themselves.
Well, on the we're looking at the appearance of the woman, strictly. So in that case, they're dating tens.
Yeah,
we don't know if they are in the full package, but
and
the
for rich sure. guy. And how real is guy, that love?
The rich guy got us.
Yeah,
100%. Guy, he's got us.
Yeah, well,
you lose. Well, but that's wouldn't you say that's animalistic to the human race too? Is that women they want to stay alive. They want to if they have a medical emergency, if they need a shelter over there, they need that security.
Well, yeah.
First.
And I was going to tell you, I mean, I know you can't say this, but
rich guy.
I mean, you're part of the most dangerous species, which would be a rich comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not only is it like, ha, but this meal is pretty good. You know what I mean?
this lobster's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
This conversation's good and this food's good.
For sure.
The rich guy can offer the food's good.
Yeah, and just like you really did just nail it because you don't realize it when you're 23, 24, but the older you get, security just in life
is
priceless, literally.
Well, you don't think about when you're 22, a 401k.
No.
But at 38, I do.
For sure.
Or you go,
think about healthcare.
Where are we going here? Yeah. The rich guy, the rich funny guy, the rich good personality guy. And then he's going to throw and he's going to have something else. Do you know that? Have you ever met one of these guys that just have everything?
Yeah.
I go, what kind of just package did you get from God that you're like, hey, here's all of them? That he can like, I was with this my buddy Johnny one time. We were at this like, he had this like, we were at this in Colorado at this like internship, and he could play like this ukulele. He always played this ukulele. Very funny, very charming, good looking guy. And we went on like this hike one time, and he brought like some fishing wire out of his bag and like fish and caught a fish. I go,
are you kidding?
Who is this guy, dude? I got nothing on this guy.
What?
This guy has everything. But the guys on the basketball court, I think Adam Carolla has a bit about this. He goes, because like it'll, you know, a lot of people say that like women aren't funny.
Yeah.
And take whatever stance you want on that argument. There's a lot of girls that I think are hilarious. But we say if you look at statistically the lineup, it's going to be dudes.
Mm-hmm.
What's 90%?
Yeah, I would say.
I would say if you look at a comedy club schedule, it'll be 90% men. More than that, maybe 80.
It just depends on the club.
Yeah, it depends on the club.
Comedy Works, Wendy books a good. I mean,
yeah, but not 50-50.
Not 50-50. Okay. 50,
so, no. I think it was in Adam Carolla. He was talking about. He goes, men, like women, to quote, in the most general term, to attract a mate, women just have to go outside.
That's right.
They have to go outside. They don't. I mean, they can dress up. They can put makeup on. They can have a skill. But they don't have to. They have to walk out the door. Men, back to our original point, we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So there, all back in the caveman days, there was a guy that was in the army. He would defend the village from predators. Then there was the hunters. He would go out, kill a moose, drag it home. That's what we're having for dinner. Then there was the guys like us.
The jesters.
And we had nothing. We didn't have any in the caveman day, we didn't have any skill. We had to do something to attract women.
Or our skills aren't really the go kill people, kill a moose.
Yeah.
I'm kind of here for morale.
Okay, yeah, I'll pop in and I'll go roast the buddy. Like, a guy's trying to start a fire, I'll make fun of him.
I mean, it does. I mean, I worked for my buddy's landscaping company, and I can remember his dad one day being like, man, you're not, like, the best worker.
Yeah, that would happen, but like you.
You make working a lot more fun.
Bro, I have the exact same.
And
I have the
exact same stories. And he's like, stories. So just keep telling stories, man, and kind of keep that same attitude. And
we love you.
Yeah, and don't you care work if for you the put the shrubs in upside down or not.
We'll come. A real guy will come behind and clean that up for us.
For sure, because I was always out there running my mouth and telling jokes, and we're in 95-degree weather.
Yeah.
You need it a little.
You need it a little, but I worked for this company called we were selling these, like, football sleds, mm-hmm. like, back in... I don't know what, 2010 or something, like, before I was a comedian. And we go on these sales calls with these, like, we fly out to Detroit, go into their boardroom, sit down, talk. And they would always bring me. And I had no sales knowledge, no football sled knowledge. But they go, Chris, you're in. I go, I'm coming. They go, yeah, you're coming. And, dude, I sat, they did these, like these promotional, like, sales events where they just had a bunch of, they brought everybody, all the football coaches up to somebody's hotel room, had a bunch of pizza and a bunch of beer.
Yeah.
That was like their main thing. And I go, we were talking about, should we still do the pizza and beer thing? I go, I don't know. Cause last time I went up to one of the hotels, it was just like David would just sitting in there hammered with a empty pizza box on his chest and two course, and everybody just fell out. He was like the CEO. He was the CEO, and it was like, as a comedian, that's not really that funny. But in that
moment,
it was the funniest thing that anyone had ever heard. I was like, well, last time I went up there, the CEO was hammered with two Coors Lights on his stomach and an empty pizza box, and everybody, and I think we closed the sale.
That's hysterical.
But again, I don't know anything about the technology or anything. What we're saying is that skill is valuable.
It is.
Or like, hey, bring him because he, like, at dinner, he's coming.
Yeah.
That's going to be, like, good for the – that's good for the village.
Absolutely.
Or good for the village.
Absolutely.
I did – I got I got a story about landing here at the airport. You got a story about Starbucks, though? You tell me yours, I'll tell mine.
I mean,
this is today?
Yeah, it's not. I went into this Starbucks. Well, listen, Boston's a lot nicer than I thought it was.
Boston. Okay, this is what I said last night. Boston is like I said. It's like New York City that went to rehab and cleaned their life up.
Yeah,
it was living wild. It was living on the edge, and then they were like, you know, we gotta, you know, they settled down.
To me,
they gotta clean up the streets.
Yeah, I like that.
Boston.
My thoughts on Boston. Is everything's either 2,000 years old or 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen so much new stuff beside a church that was here before the beginning of time in my entire life.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. It's just, it's cleaner and nicer than I thought. But I went to the Starbucks that's across the street from our hotel.
All right.
Nice Starbucks. But all suddenly, it was filled with the weirdest people I'd ever been. Two guys in front of me. The only place in the country you're going to be standing in line. One guy had on a Harvard polo. Other guy had on a Princeton polo.
Oh, yeah.
Both
in
their lower 20s. And
both,
I just thought,
both.
Man, you guys got a heck of a life ahead of you. You know,
Not like from Goodwill. Deals. They have a.
Got
it.
Like ironically wearing a Princeton. Polo.
Okay, like they go to Princeton.
No, he's proud of it. He's in the business school.
What's the Princeton mascot? You guys know? What's the Harvard mascot? I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. I have no idea. But anyways.
They don't even have sports. I don't think they have sports.
They definitely do, and they're not going to like that at all because they take their sports pretty serious for, like, the Harvard-Yale football game.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. They tailgate, and I think they drink champagne. But
if you go to Harvard for basketball, they're like, all right, this is not your main gig.
Basketball
is your side gig.
Yeah.
You're going on to be the CEO.
You're going to be a doctor, and you think basketball is good for your heart. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't really care about the sport. He just wants to live a long time.
But he likes to play.
Very
fundamental. That's the Princeton offense. Offense.
My high school, we had the Princeton offense. Backdoor cuts.
So did Sanford.
Let me tell
you. A lot
of
white guys.
My senior year, our coach got let go because we had too much talent, they thought, for the offense that we ran. Because what we would do is we'd beat teams 36-29.
In a
varsity 6A big time Alabama basketball.
Defense. Cuts.
Jim would be going, they'd be booing, going nuts. And then we'd hit him with a back, with that backdoor cut. Fell asleep on us.
You got to just run around Steph Curry.
Hate it.
Horrible to watch.
Yeah.
So he got fired because you got too many skilled
players.
Because
we had guys that weren't getting the scholarships they should. Because it doesn't display athleticism.
It's going up.
A bunch of white dudes essentially that are outmatched.
Yeah.
And so we're going to hand this ball off until you fall asleep. And now we just did a reverse layup.
Did the redhead, would he make it, the redhead guy?
He'd be perfect for it.
Yeah,
I was perfect for it.
If you could
set a screen, hit a jump shot, and remember a bunch of plays, you could.
Because
the Princeton is an audible offense. Like, it's not necessarily as many set plays as it is cuts and different passes for different, you know.
Versus like Steve Nash, who's like coaching the Nets, like in those timeouts, he's like, it's like Kevin Durant. Like Kyrie Irving, he's like, hey, I don't know.
Yeah.
Y'all just keep the ball moving. But he goes, y'all make more than me, so I'm going to get fired before y'all do, so do whatever you want out there. Yeah.
All right, I should just get to my point here. I'm inside of this Starbucks, okay? And all suddenly, this guy walks in, and he's like, do you cook food? Do you cook food?
Okay.
And he's like, so there's all these like pumps for like hazelnut, caramel, he starts going,
hitting them.
All right. So then he leaves because they're like,
on the floor.
He said, Do you have a fryer?
Okay.
And then another guy walks in, and this guy's like huge and he has a tiny head.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not joking. And he's like, I need a latte. And I look at the guys in front of me and I go, oh my. I said, hey, man, all the aliens from the Men in Black are here. I said, we got to squirt them with water or unzip them. I was like, because the guy in the front, he reminded me of that white dude that was that farmer. He was just standing there and they were like, so what can I get you today? And he's like, water. I need water. And they're like, what do you need? I need water. And I was like, and I mean, can I tell you these two guys who I'm not even smart enough to be a janitor in their building one day. Were crying.
Laughing.
And I was so glad because I love the movies, The Men in Black.
Yeah.
And if you would have seen these guys, I mean, it looked like that they were like, we could have like, I was like, we need to shoot them with a ray gun.
Yeah, we need to like, something needs
because
to.
Because they're not real people.
Yeah.
I mean, that one guy came in, do you have a fryer?
Yeah,
and everybody looked around like,
Can you fry food? And we were like, I was like, these guys are aliens.
That if you said like the three, like they're like the person that owns them, like said the three words and they melted into a puddle.
Well, you're I was like, waiting oh, for like yeah, Tommy yeah, Lee yeah, Jones yeah. to walk in and be like, hey, Albert, knock it off.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like he takes it off into some Boston guy like, I'm sorry, Tommy. I was just trying to get a drink, you know. He's like, pew. And I'm
sorry, like he had a little like he programmed him, but he had a little bit of a glitch. Dude, it was like he just kept coming in with a fryer thing.
That one
like,
guy
I don't know
that
why.
Was like, I need water. I was like, that's the guy.
Gosh, that's so good.
I need sugar water.
Yeah. When you always sit, I feel like because the Boston guys, the Harvard guys in there, like I like when people have a good demeanor about them when stuff like that happens. Like, yes. Like I will get involved in this if I need to, but for now it's the people aren't violent.
Yes.
They're mentally ill.
For sure.
And they're not that it's funny.
We had to say something.
You had to say and you have
they
to look
came
around.
In and yeah, it was yeah, I mean yeah. the guys over there smashing the tops of caramel, hazelnut,
yeah,
vanilla.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean just squirting it onto their counter.
Yeah.
And the Starbucks workers are just and while he's doing it, he's going, asking him, do you have a fryer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you fry food? I mean, yeah, so you got to, and no, this is what I was going to say, is a guy like me who struggled throughout school and never, you know, the only worth that I felt for a long time was laughed.
Yeah,
when
I
make two Princeton, Harvard guys,
that's the guy, that's the best, yeah.
It's a real connection.
That's nothing better.
And especially when, I mean, they got it immediately. I was like, the Men in Black aliens are in here. And they
and he said that out loud?
No, I said that. I did not say a word to them because I was watching them first.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're laughing with each other.
Oh, so they're buddies, or
no? No. The two Harvard and Princeton guy are in front of me laughing about the chaos.
Okay, yeah, yeah. When so I you saw knew that they were being they were humorous about it. Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I went. Then I tapped on the guy's shoulder. I said, "The aliens," and then we die. We just
that's
lost.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
and that's like we're like, why did you start comedy? You're like, yeah, you want to make a living. Yeah, you want to, but that
yes,
that's and I everybody every comedian could say that.
Well, you have a Princeton and a Harvard guy who are probably, I'm assuming, super smart, intellectual, and but in that moment, it took a comedian to know what to say
to loosen it up.
Exactly to put it into perspective or put it into a funny frame, a Men in Black frame.
Yep.
They didn't know what to say. They had their heads down, just kind of like, this is ridiculous.
And they're kind of like with all those like the camera phone has like changed that in a lot of ways because you see something like you're on an airplane, you see some guy like somebody massaging somebody's feet or something that's inappropriate against the social cues, and you go, and it used to be your situation. You look at the guy next to you and be like, and roast them, cut up, and then it's easy for you to cope with it. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like you kind of take a photo of it, send it to one of the meme accounts, and then they be like, look how absurd this is. That's your way of coping with it.
That's right.
But that the original, I do that all the time where I was in, I broke both my fingers and I was in the urgent care and the doctor came in and she was like, I go, this is what I said. She was like, I go, what's up, my friend? And she goes, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You don't know if we're going to be friends yet. That's a horrible accent. But it was, she goes, and so she said, I'm into humor. Or just like the Yale guys, they identify themselves as good for jokes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You were like, you don't know what the joke was. But she goes, I go, what's up, my friend? Just being kind. And then she says, oh, yeah, you don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Yeah.
So then I go, oh. Jokes.
Yeah.
I immediately was like, jokes. And then she goes, I go, can I guess where your accent's from? I would never say that mm-hmm. if it wasn't someone that I've been like, funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I go, and I thought it was either like Russia or Ukraine, but I think they're in a fight with each other. So then I tightened up a little bit and I said, I went with Ukraine. I don't know why.
Yeah.
She goes, nope. And I go, Russia? She goes, yeah. I go, shoot.
Tough time.
It's a tough, that's an L. That's
for sure.
But then then she worked on my hand for a little bit and put it on in the saline solution. She said, I'll come back in 15 minutes. And she goes, I'm going to go. And she goes, and you need to work on your geography to make it better. It's like, she was like, funny. I go,
yeah, yeah, no
close.
Kidding.
So that's, you always get like, I've always said a good sense of humor is not you have a great sense of humor. You're a comedian, but the good sense of humor was the Harvard and Yale guys.
That's right.
And they're not telling jokes, but they knew they were ready for the relief that comes from humor.
For sure. And it was silly. Yeah.
And there was other people in there that were like, hey, like, especially from the Northeast, everything's very sensitive. Because we've done jokes. We did jokes last night at the show that would, in the South, they carry you out on their shoulders.
That's right.
And what was an example of one for you? Like one that you were like, they just didn't really.
I mean.
Because how do you describe Boston? They're like.
You know, sometimes when you get up there and you tell everybody you're from Alabama and you've got an accent.
Yeah.
It's leverage. And then sometimes it's a hole.
You know, good point. And
when you get in front of a bunch of people, maybe in this part of the country that is feels like they're especially educated or, you know, might have a different outlook on life.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to work a little harder to get to the punchlines. That's what it felt like. I mean, and you can't say what you want to say. These people don't understand that we've done every city in the country. So I have this sample size of my jokes nationwide.
I know. Yeah.
I know what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get in front of these people and they're like, I don't know if I like that joke or not.
Yeah, I don't.
And it's
you know
what? I know what you're doing to me.
And I'm not,
And so we felt that a little bit on stage. You know.
I would say it's like you ever done like a corporate?
Yeah.
Where you do the company's Christmas party or sales party, or you do a church. I do a lot of church like staff meetings. And everybody, it seems like on the way out, everybody will be like, yo, that was hilarious. But the guy that signs your paycheck is sitting next to you. You're going to be a little more hesitant to laugh at the joke.
You're right. But I also have, before I ever come to Boston, I've met people from the Northeast, met people from Boston plenty of times in my life. And I actually told, at the last day job, the last job I had ever had outside of comedy, I told my boss, we had just signed on a guy who was born and raised in Boston.
Yeah, okay.
And he was like, how are you guys getting along?
Yeah.
And we weren't getting along great the first couple of weeks.
Okay, yeah.
And I told him, I said, listen, people from the Northeast, when they meet people from Alabama, they have immediate thoughts about us. Like, we're a little slower, a little dumber. This guy's just going to want to talk about, but we end up being a lot more similar.
Very similar, yeah.
Than what you'd ever imagine.
Like, you're like waving a Trump flag on your car.
And I feel that here.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel when I go at other parts of the country, I go, hey, I'm from Alabama. They find it slightly interesting.
Yeah.
Like, in this part of the country, they find it unfortunate.
Yeah. They go, we know your type.
Yeah, that's tough. You're from Alabama. I feel that. And I'm not saying that's not with everybody. Like, I don't have this.
Yeah, it's not the whole.
Before I even ever came to the city in my life, I have felt this with people from the Northeast, just a little hesitant with Southerners at first.
But you'd say, at the end of the day, like Eli, or my brother-in-law, goes to Harvard. Mm-hmm. He goes to business school in there, and he said it's like some kind of like the people that are like, hey, all this very like progressive thought, like, hey, this is kind of absurd. It's kind of like secret. You got it. Like, I guess in the South, like if we say like, hey, what's your pronoun, and we would openly mock that.
Yes,
but we would openly, like, it would be in the lexicon of, like, you would assume that people would be making fun of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you'd assume people would be supporting. We're not against it, but it's by default, you would think people think it is absurd.
For sure.
Here, by default, so we come out and say these things that are like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Like, one of my first jokes is, they were like, do you care about children? I was like, yes. And they're like, do you want to donate $1 to help children? I was like, no. Like, it's that basic idea.
Yeah.
Meaning like, yes, we want to, but then, and then we just say things, those things out loud. And I would just say that people do agree with it, but they're just like, I can't believe this guy's saying this.
Yeah.
Out publicly here. But in the South, it's more like I was going to do some shows in Australia over there, and it, like, the reason why my jokes work for my audience is because they're majority, I'd be saying, Christian people, that you say a joke about making out with a girl and that's across the line. Which, so it's like, that's what makes humor, it's across the line versus a normal show. They're like, I don't get the, why is that bad?
Yeah.
You're like, well, we grew up in church where you weren't allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. So that's like, oh, so like, but it, the, he's like, I should come to do some shows in Australia. He goes, I don't know if it would work because we trash on everybody over here.
Yeah.
Like, it's very common to, like, roast. It's not like, oh, I can't believe he said that. He's like, yeah, that's like a normal conversation.
Absolutely.
So then you're like, well, I don't know if it. Yeah, so that, but I mean, we've, how many different cities have we been to?
Countless.
Countless. And we've, and I experienced, there's every possible thing I've experienced. Mm-hmm. Every possible situation of a good crowd, an unbelievable crowd.
Absolutely.
I felt the crowd was on in Springfield was too rowdy.
Yeah.
That y'all were yelling out too much. I couldn't really get my, and it was just on fire. The place was about to, the roof was about to come off the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a last night's show, it was like,
well, first show was
unbelievable. The roof was about to come off the place, sold out.
Yeah.
And then the second show, they were a little, I don't know what they were.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you'd get a better idea after two more shows tonight. But,
yeah.
I mean, I could definitely, you know, it was nice. Your sister came in who's seen a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
And to hear them say that they were wondering why they were so tight.
Why they were like that. Yeah.
They were, but, you know, I mean, I immediately, it's just the way my brain works. I'm immediately like, oh, a bunch of y'all Harvard people in here.
Oh, we get it.
Judging an Alabama boy.
Yeah,
I see y'all.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be a few different things. I mean, and what I was going to say earlier, back to what I was talking about, I have found over time that, you know, as a Southerner, I get it. I have a lot more in common and find a lot more common ground with people from the Northeast than I would from people out West.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay,
like I mean, somebody born and raised in like Southern California, no problems, nothing. But we don't have anything in common. Yeah,
these people,
we nothing.
Yeah, okay,
let me tell you what the South and the Northeast has in common. We live and die on our sports.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, live and die. I know everybody in Boston thinks they're the biggest sports fans in the world. But have you ever met a college football fan from the South?
From Alabama.
Because it hurts just as much to us as when the Red Sox lose to y'all. Mm-hmm. I can promise. I mean, when Alabama or Auburn loses in the Iron Bowl, there's a lot of people standing on porches contemplating a lot of things.
Have tough. Yeah, they're like, I don't normally smoke cigarettes, but I do tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and anyways.
I was going to say sports, and I thought you were going to say work.
Work, that's a great
these
one.
These people.
And probably the number one to me, John, baked beans.
All right, baked beans, work.
Let me tell y'all something. When I found out y'all made baked beans in Boston, I lost my mind because I thought that was a Southern.
Is this the place for them?
Yes.
Boston?
This is baked beans, baby.
Let's go get some.
Let's go get some. Boston, I'd like to think there's like a deli. We're like, we got is beans here.
Yeah. We got it.
But I love baked beans.
Ham sandwich? Beans on this?
Come on, dog.
All right, yeah. Beans on a burrito? Beans, yeah.
Dude, well, I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan of baked beans. Huge fan. I mean,
really?
I eat them with,
You put some bacon in there?
Let me tell you something. Yeah.
This is when Derek gets fired up.
Ground beef and green peppers. Where I'm from, we call that cowboy beans. I said, come on.
Ground beef and what?
Ground beef and like green peppers.
And some baked beans?
Add like a little bit more brown sugar. And those are called cowboy beans. They're just a little heartier.
Oh, I feel that. I baked beans, they go like on a, I would go like in a, like a barbecue restaurant. What do you want your side to be? I don't know.
Where we're from, the classic sides for any barbecue like plate would be baked beans and potato salad.
Yeah, you go hot and cold.
You're going to go hot and cold.
Yeah.
That's and exactly a piece of brisket. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the way I'd fire it up. I think the idea of humor. So I went into the idea of humor that I would say I'm going to try to ingest it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, and we always say, like, I listen to your show because you on before me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to figure out what to do for how I'm going to approach this crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, oddly enough, I know everything about, the crowd before from listening to mm-hmm. what they're doing with you. Now one person might love it, but the crowd as a whole, that's why I say, don't be mad. Don't listen to one person's email
mm-hmm.
if about a joke if it's offensive. Listen to the whole crowd.
That's right.
Listen to everyone. Like one
the
person.
Consensus.
Listen to everyone. Okay, so like my girlfriend was at the Morgan Wallen concert in Fayetteville, Arkansas last night,
mm-hmm.
and the guy that got them the tickets, he goes, "Oh, dude, like they're in for it tonight. This crowd is unreal." And I was thinking because of my comedy crowds, and I go, that didn't really connect with me because I wouldn't know if a music crowd was good or not. Would you?
Because
he does four nights a week.
Yeah.
But just like how we do, we come back after every show, I get off stage, and we go, that crowd was this. X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the people that are coming know what they are. They don't know if they're a good or bad crowd. Oh. My sister knows because she's been to 100 shows.
I get what you're saying.
We know because we do, but like, and I go, he goes, the Morgan Wallen, this crowd tonight is unbelievable. I go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't, there's 18,000 people in an amphitheater.
How could it be anything but?
It would, but he goes, yeah, but this one, but that's what we do, the same thing. And right. What you don't want to do as a comic is, I think, is project, oh, this is a bad crowd. I'm going to be bad. Because they were like, sometimes those crowds are like a little lighter, like on the response, like they buy every single piece of your merch. And they're like, dude, we loved it. I go, you love that?
Mm-hmm.
I go, come to Huntsville next weekend and we'll light this place on fire. So I think it's important for us to not bring our whatever we have into the crowd.
Yeah. Just, I mean, and it's also important as a comedian not to bring your feelings into it.
Yeah.
You got to understand that they paid, you know, whatever, and they don't have to love it. But you're right. Unfortunately, we can tell if they're good or bad.
The Morgan Wallen crowd in Syracuse, New York, paid the same as the Rogers, Arkansas.
That's right.
But if you go, I mean, if you go to country concerts in Syracuse, New York, I bet they're not as good as Montgomery, Alabama.
I mean, there's no.
I shouldn't say that for sure, but
there's no way.
But our New York shows. And our Boston show, like we don't sell tickets up here like we do in the South.
Oh well, that's of fair. Course not. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And the last night's early show was on fire.
It was. It was a lot of fun.
You know what I did? I was just thinking this with my fingers because I broke both my fingers in my garage door.
Mm.
All right, dude. Let me just describe this really quick.
Mm.
You know the garage has like those like creases in it where the folds in it where it goes up.
Yeah.
And mine doesn't have a latch. So I reached in between the cracks and with all my might pulled it down and it went. And
John.
Dude. I was laying on the garage floor. My hand was just bleeding, and I was like, this is it. I go, we had a good run.
I mean, first of all, in hindsight, probably should have put your hand somewhere else.
Yeah, no, I think now in hindsight, yeah.
Because I see what you're talking about now.
There's nowhere else to grip. There's nowhere else to grip it.
There's not.
You could pull it from, you could do this. That's going to look insane. I don't have, it's never been manually put up and down, but my power bill was out. It's a different story. I didn't. My power was out. They shut my power off. I can afford to pay it, ladies. I can afford my power bill. I'm just kidding. There's nowhere else to grip it. Maybe I want to go home and see if there is a place to grip it, but I don't think there was.
I wouldn't worry about that. Yeah. That.
Anyway, so I was laying on the ground. I was in so much like my. I was sweating. I was laying on the tile and I was sweating, and in so much pain. In so much pain, and I. Have your body has ever gone into like shock?
Oh, for sure.
Like when?
I was doing P90X about 12 years ago and dislocated my kneecap.
And it just.
John.
Yeah, like whatever
you,
like that
you
is.
You mentioned when you told me this story, the first, you're talking about the sweating?
It might.
Buckets of, your, of sweat your, came
your
off.
Your body
of
is like. It goes
into shock.
It goes, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do here.
Yeah,
we don't. It's in so much. And it is your finger, and you're like, all right, well, it's not. That's not a head injury. This isn't a life or death one, obviously. But at the time, you're in any you just like it was that, and it was just bleeding all over the and then I got into the first floor. I got three floors of my town home. What's up? The guest room. I laid on the bed and it was bleeding all over the. And I go, I don't care. I don't. What about the comforter? I go.
It doesn't matter right now.
No. Anyway, I only tell this story because. So I'm going to go into urgent care. I can drive. This is probably an hour later. I can drive. Like I'm going to go into urgent care, and I need to get. I don't want to wait in line at the urgent care. So this. would you consider this a form of manipulation and cheating, or is this a form of, you got to be smart? So I had this whole thing wrapped up and it was bleeding. It was bleeding all over and I had ice. And I go, all right, if I change the paper towel bandage here, clean this up, I'm going to walk into urgent care. I feel like I'm going to get slower service. But if I keep this bleeding, almost dripping, if I walk in there with this, I think I'm going to the front of the line.
Yeah.
And so I opted to do that. And I put an ice pack on it, which was not really necessary at the time. And it was, and I could have cleaned it up, but I walked in there at 1:50 and they called my name at 1:51.
That was smart.
I think
in my time, that's what you got to do for yourself. That's how you make it.
Yeah, that's how you make it. That's how you make it. Because there's other people sitting in there and they didn't have any visual problems. Like, let's say someone was in there for a COVID test. Let's say somebody sprained a wrist 2 weeks ago and they're in here for a checkup because they have like the medication. And I come in like this. I mean, I should have just make a cut on my face, or I should have. Then you're like, they go, hey.
Yeah, I mean, back. I think the almost dripping on your hand bandage
was that was the key.
That was the key.
But it wasn't. This was probably I want to say 2 hours later, where I calmed myself down and it stopped like throbbing. So it was not bleeding at the time. But I go, if I keep this,
oh yeah,
I'm going to the front of the line.
I think you're right about that.
That's the move to make.
That was smart. That was smart on your part.
Because if everyone else is sitting there, they go, yeah, let him.
That's smart on your part, especially since you, I mean, you're in pain.
I mean, yeah. And they put, the funny thing is about going to the doctor is that they know what to do. Like if I go, I don't know, should I put it on ice? Should I not? If it's going to be, if I got to amputate it, maybe I don't want to put it on ice. But they go, here, put it in this saline. And I go, it hurts profusely, but if this is the way forward, then yeah. I go, all right, I'm good. Versus me just going, maybe you should remove the fingernail, like, or whatever they would say. I ain't doing that. I did go in the I was filming a video when I got to Boston. I was filming a video in the airport because I'm going to release the video when this podcast comes out on Thursday. This video was already going to be out. It's called trying to find an Uber in an airport you've never been to. Have you had that? You had it in Boston.
In Boston?
Yeah.
It was a scavenger hunt.
Boston is the perfect place for it.
It was.
But in New York, in Denver, it's tricky. Because you go, where do you go in Denver? You go down?
Well, Denver, I think it's easy. Any place where your Lyft and Uber pickup is outside of baggage claim is where it should be.
And it's on the fourth island, isn't it?
It's on several different islands. But
I forgot where, yeah.
I mean, all right, speaking of what he's talking about in Boston, when you get to the airport, you're looking for the ride app.
The ride signs for the ride share.
I'm walking around, and I don't see him anywhere, and I don't panic. Me and you go to airports every weekend.
Yep.
I'm like, I'm going to figure this out.
That's well,
eventually
hilarious.
I walk around, and I'm like, okay. So I go up to a lady to get some help.
Are you asked?
Yeah, I said,
this
hey.
This is unbelievable.
Where's the ride app signs?
Yeah.
And she goes, darling, you're looking right below you. And I look down, and she talked just like that. Right below you.
It's like the guy from the lady from White Man Can't Jump.
Right there by your feet, darling. Look right by your feet.
Yeah.
And I looked down, and they were on the ground. Arrows.
Those pink arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know she thinks I was probably being a smart aleck, but I wasn't trying to be. I went, well, every other sign is up. And then you put that one.
Why would you look down?
On the floor.
Yeah.
It got me. And she was like, yeah.
You're like, and that's the situation where you're like, oh, okay, no jokes here.
No jokes.
Okay, no jokes here. I got it.
I was just being like, the airport, quadrillion signs up top.
A million.
Ride app.
Ride share. Lyft, Uber. Yeah.
You got to look at your feet.
The car with the
thing. You got to look at your feet. Where are you from? Where are you from? Tennessee? Come here.
Yeah. So you get off. It's like, my point was, I go, they can't come to arrivals.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because it's the same amount of people coming to the airport before and now.
It's it
and if it's your buddy dropping you off or an Uber dropping you off, somebody's got an email with like, John, this is why, probably. I think it's for the unions and the taxis, I think.
Yeah.
You can't just come to, because remember at the beginning of Uber when you had to like get out and like hug the guy to like act like it was your buddy so they wouldn't know it was an Uber?
I don't remember that.
Okay,
that's a I'd like to think that's not real and John just hugged Uber drivers for a year. He's like, no, my best friend told me and you had to do that.
He's like holding the guy for a second. Just hold me for a second so you don't get a ticket. I thought, because you were like, hey, the Uber drivers, because they can't go to departures and arrivals. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's the same amount of people going on the flights that there always have been.
Well, in Denver, it's better because there's like five lanes up top, okay, that are very well separated.
Big, and they're big.
And so then you can say these last two lanes over here are your Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
This middle lane is commercial buses and shuttles.
Yeah.
And this next lane is yada yada. And the first lane is passenger pickup.
Yeah.
So you're able to walk out a baggage claim in Denver and you have different lanes.
Easy.
I'm telling you, in Boston, I had to walk across the city.
I had to. I made a joke and said, "Hey, can we get a taxi to the Uber pickup?"
I mean, come on. Come on.
You go. I remember going to baggage claim, going down to baggage claim, getting your bags, then going back up to the arrivals level, and then up another level across the sky bridge, over the interstate, over the whatever, down an elevator. Walk down around it was like in every new city you go to where am I going to find an Uber here?
Well, New York City at the airport. I've never seen such chaos.
Yeah, I know.
100 Ubers and Lyfts, and they're all honking their horns on the same level.
They go, hey,
and so you just got to walk out there with your phone and just try to match the license plate.
And you go 4Z9578, and they're flying.
When I was looking around, like, you gotta fix this.
Yeah, this is
chaos.
New York City has got, it's over, it's too much. They've lost control. Crazy. But I got, I should send you this video. Let me watch. I will actually watch this video. I got, the cops stopped me while making that video.
Oh, wow.
In the Boston airport. Let me see if I got the video. The guy goes,
hey there, pal.
How do we? I could send this to my guy and he could splice it in here, probably. Yeah. Watch this video, Derek. Said the airline called us, and you're going up and down, up and down. I was filming on the escalator going up and down. And I was like, we're going up. No, it says we need to go down.
And they called the
cops. And the airline called the cops on me. And I go, what was I doing? And he goes, wait. He's like, especially with everything that happened around here. Was this something happened? It was like a terrorist thing. A long time ago. The marathon? That's forever ago.
There's no way that you going up and down the escalator has to do with the marathon bombing.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. But listen, I was telling, so I was filming, so when you ever, if you ever seen any like TikToks or anything when somebody's on their phone, they're filming with their phone and they're on their phone case. Have you ever seen somebody act it out like that? They go like, no, mom, they just have their case because they got to film with their phone and they're only one person. So I had this bandage on filming with my phone case. I must have looked insane.
Like, I was just about to say, I kind of tried to put myself in the people's shoes. How many times did you go up and down?
Five.
I don't know if I would have called security, but some young lady was like, at the desk went,
hey.
And I bet you they weren't, they would have checked on you more of like a manic episode.
Oh, yeah, like for like a mental episode.
I think this guy's having a problem on this escalator.
Not a terrorist episode.
Yeah,
but because, he has to say that, especially there.
Yeah, I mean, that was like, and it's whatever, but I hate that comment. He's just saying whatever, especially with everything that happened around here like 40 years ago, the escalator incident, you know.
I was telling somebody, I go, I never have the three times I have the most, and this is all the way back to the beginning of our conversation, the three times when I have the unreasonable. Like Bill Simmons, he's a sports writer here in town. He used to be in Boston. He talks about the irrational confidence guy off the bench in the basketball game. Mm-hmm. Irrational confidence, just coming in firing three, yeah. And he can catch fire. Mm-hmm. And they call him this irrational confidence guy. Like, why does this guy think he's the best player in the NBA? Mm-hmm. The irrational confidence guy. And the places I have the most confidence, unfortunately, are when you ask a woman out and she says yes, you're like on top of the world. Like I remember like in college, like asking a girl. So
what gives you the most confidence?
Is that.
Okay.
And then doing, being proficient at the job I'm good at. And then talking to police when I know I did nothing wrong. Bro, I go, you're not talking to me. Like, yeah. Almost like I can film in an airport. Like, I know I did nothing wrong. And this might be like a little bit of a white privilege situation.
I thought that too.
But I go, you're not talking to me, bro.
Yeah, but it's also good. And we don't ever bring these up.
I go, man, because other people were looking at me. They go, meaning like, and it was one of the flight attendants that called. I knew who it was, one of the girls in the airport.
I will say, I mean, it is good that I feel like sometimes if people of minorities can feel like that they're the only ones that get randomly harassed by police officers. Yeah. So a video like that is good to see, to where you're like, sometimes the cops just come up to you, no matter who you are.
They go, yeah.
And they go, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that
that's
that,
true, though. Yeah.
But I'm saying that's a good snapshot, because we were just going to breeze right by that. But you're a normal looking white dude riding on an escalator, but you were acting
kind of
weird.
We're acting kind of, what's going on there?
Yeah. So,
and if it's in the airport, if it is the true see something, say something, that would qualify.
That would qualify.
And he goes,
I mean, not for me, kind of. I mean, I just don't, it's not my job.
I wouldn't qualify for me either. Yeah, I would just move along. But mm-hmm. he goes, I think this is a cop's way of like, kind of like, I would imagine in like cop school, what do they call it? Police academy. Cop school. Wow. Did they like, let me get your ID is like a way of like, let me just figure out the situation.
Absolutely.
He goes, let me get your ID and your boarding pass. I go, what? But that's just kind of a buffer. And then he's kind of talking to you while he's looking. He's not really looking at anything. Mm-hmm. He's not calling it into anything. He just goes, all right, and then what are you doing out here? So now we're in a thing.
Well, it's going to be, and that's how he should have started it, because nothing's going to be more alarming than if he goes, can I get your ID and boarding pass? Yeah. And you go, I don't have a boarding pass.
Then you're like, all right,
and
buddy.
Then he's like, man, you can't just be at the airport and not flying.
They're going to make you leave.
Yeah.
So I said exactly, I go, I'm making a TikTok, which is, that's kind of embarrassing in and of itself.
But it's the truth.
But I go, I'm making a joke about, I said, explain the exact video. I go, I'm making a joke about trying to find an Uber in an airport you've never been to. And he kind of chuckled. He goes, that's pretty funny. And I go, and then we were good.
Yeah.
I go, all right. And then he's going to be like, hey, you kind of need to, let's wrap this up. But I kept filming, but I went to just a different section of the airport.
Yeah.
But like, you do go, and then I was like, hey, I did this whole like, I'm pro police thing, which was unnecessary.
That is unnecessary.
Hey, dude, I'm like on your team. He's like, all right. Like he was like,
that is the whitest thing. I think what you're doing is great.
I've seen some things against you, police, and I disagree with them.
Yeah.
Like he's like, okay. Like I tried to, and he was Latino. I think he was Latino. He goes, okay. And he goes, are you filming? He caught me filming.
Yeah.
He goes, are you filming? I go, yeah. And he goes, all right. He's like, you're more than welcome to film. I go, I'll turn it off. Yeah, no, I go, no, you're right.
And here's another thing we need to keep in mind, is that every time a police officer approaches you, he doesn't want to.
No, he doesn't want to.
So somebody called. Cops, they talk about, they get tons of calls.
He goes,
he didn't want to come up and talk to you.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably didn't even think you were a threat.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has to.
Somebody goes, hey.
So now he walks up, can I get your license?
He goes, hey, man. Yeah, he goes, hey, what's going on here?
What are you doing?
But you can tell if a cop has been doing it for long enough, you can go, it's like a kid in another room. It's like, hey, what, like, you know if the kid's doing bad stuff or not based on just the look on the kid's face.
Mm-hmm.
So you know immediately, I would imagine, if you're a police officer, if you pull somebody over, are they good or are they bad? I would, I think immediately.
I know, but that's such a dangerous way of thinking. John.
It is also.
Because now you have called this person dangerous because of your 25 year of intuition.
And he goes,
and you're wrong.
And you're wrong. That's how you get in trouble.
Because I mean, I've been harassed by a police officer before that just would not lay off of how nervous I was.
And you were just freaking out.
I was nervous, man. Yeah. I mean, and he goes, I'm in Glencoe, is there something? Alabama, and you just pulled me over and you're treating me like I'm doing something. I mean,
maybe I am nervous now.
And he did a whole lot of, son, I've been doing this a long time now. I can read people, and you're a little bit more nervous than you should be. And it's like, no, Barney, you need to calm down, my man. Like, you, I'm just,
you got your lights flashing everywhere.
I'm scared of you very much.
You got
so
a gun.
I do get a little worried.
Of, that's a good point.
And that's why I think the police officers have one of the hardest jobs in the world, because it's very easy to think, okay, I kind of got this now. I kind of, no, you don't, because it's a person by person basis.
It's, an
it's
every
the
time.
Wildest game on earth.
And now you're playing for keeps because everybody's got their phone out.
For sure. And I mean, so, I couldn't imagine being a cop.
I go, like, we do, we like, we, it's not similar at all, but you'd be like, at the live show, like, you're like, all right, if you like, I'm not fighting for my life out there, but I'm like trying to wrangle this crowd, trying to keep them orderly, also trying to shut some drunk girls up, but there's this other person over here that's offended, and I'm trying to placate everything and yet still play my best show.
That's right.
And then you go, if you took 30 seconds out of context and posted that on the internet, you'd be like, John Crist. I go, okay, not really. I mean, yeah, and that's a cop now.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Sure.
So you go, he pulls over 30 people a day, and he's trying to protect and serve the oath he signed. And now everybody's like, and now you're playing for, if this shows up on the internet, my career's over. And my kids, I'm going to pull my kids out of school. It's a tough way to, that's a tough life. Now, if you're getting out of high school and you're like, I want to be a cop, you go, man, maybe not.
Yeah, that's not right now.
But shout out, let me see if I can find this cop's name. Shout out to this guy who was a most perfect. I can't find, there's no way I'm going to find his name on here. I can't find, the video will be out by now. But shout out, I might put that part in the video, I might not.
Hey, whoever, if this police officer.
Shout out to the Boston Airport police officer, nicest, most friendly guy in the world, handled it. And the video is still going to exist because of his kindness.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, we were at two shows tonight at the Laughs Boston.
Laughs Boston.
But this is going to be over by then. It's going to come out next Thursday.
Yeah.
Where are we going next Thursday? Greensboro.
Greensboro.
We're going to Greensboro. You can see all the tour dates, johnchriscomedy.com. Lucas, thanks for listening. Good night, buddy. Net Podcast. Net Positive Podcast. See you next week.
Weird, but on the net, on the, it was a positive. Was a positive. You cannot be serious. On the net, it's a positive.